You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls His people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin. And it now has begun. Welcome. Good morning. Good morning, our wonderful listeners, as you're keying in today to the front line. We have a great program for you today. But before we get into introducing our guest, I have to introduce, in fact, I'm required by some law, probably federal or at least divine, to introduce my co-host, whom I've missed because we've been 2 weeks doing prayer and share, so we haven't had the doing the live program. But so, Ed, especially Ed Skiba, good seeing you, brother.
Good being seen. Better seen than viewed.
Yeah, that's true, Ed.
Yeah.
Another,
I agree.
Another beautiful South Florida morning, and I want to give God the glory and praise. Those of you that have been on following this program, the front line, know that I've been through some physical challenges. This last week, I have turned a corner. God has just perform miracles in my life. I'm so much more mobile. My shortness of breath is gone.
Amen.
Well, it diminished to a very minuscule amount.
Does that mean you're going to be talking more?
good possibility.
No walking cane.
I just want to praise God for that.
Praise God.
And I want to thank everybody out there for the prayers.
Amen.
Because I know that's what did it, the prayers of God's people.
Amen. It's always His grace. And, you know, the prayers continue, Ed.
Yeah.
But remember what I said? God told me He's going to give you a decade.
I know.
And that's 10 years, not like 10 other things.
Is his name Ed Nebuchadnezzar?
Yeah. Amen. Could be. He might have changed it, you know, during the witness protection program. Who knows? And Limhoko, good to see
good morning.
You again.
You know, we haven't been here in 2 weeks, but it feels like a month.
Yeah, it does.
You know what? When you're not at a place for some time, you really appreciate when it's not there. So it's an honor and a privilege to even just be on this radio station and on this show.
Amen.
It is a privilege to be able to, for the Lord to use us and use our voices.
Amen.
It's a privilege. So happy to be here.
Well, good. Thank you. And it's always a blessing. I got two great co-hosts here. Before we introduce our guest, though, you've been following along prayer and share. Many of you have, and some may not have heard the goal. We did not reach our goal of 225,000 by the end of Friday afternoon. However, where we did end up was again a blessing from the Lord. Was $187,186. Now that's pretty much in that's the neighborhood we usually end up at on the second Friday of a fundraiser. It's rare we meet our goal, you know, but point is God meets it.
Amen.
In His time.
Amen.
In fact, before we started this prayer and share, I think Jonathan said that the goal from the April prayer and share was met at the end of September. So we actually started, you know, and whatever came in was what we call new money. Had not been committed for the prior.
But the Lord continues to have this radio station on the air for as long as it's
what we call
amen.
Someone told me one time, God's timing is perfect. Seldom early, never late.
I've mostly embraced that.
Yeah.
I mean, still I get anxious. You know, I said, I want to do this now, Lord. And He says, no.
I think we're all like that. Our flesh wants
flesh gets in the way. And I've got a lot of it to get in the way, too, I have to say. I've got to work on that.
I just preached on that yesterday.
Did you really?
Wrestling with God, I want it all now. You get it when it's my time.
This is a Jacob moment for all of us, wrestling with the Lord. Well, today, and I want to say, listeners, if you have access to a pen and paper, I think there's some things going to be shared today that you might want to write down. And if you can't, you'll find most of them in the book we're going to be talking about. Kim Wojcicki, welcome.
Hey, always good to be here.
It's a pleasure, brother, to share this room with you. We have done on many occasions.
Yeah, and I've enjoyed every minute of it. Y'all haven't kicked me out yet.
No, we won't. It's a pleasure. Well, as a matter of fact, you know, I have a vision for your coming here on a regular basis, so
I would love it.
Yeah, you know, because you have things to say. And particularly today, we're always excited. Every time we do this program, we're lifting up the people of God. We're raising up ministries mm-hmm. for people to think about, pray about, mm-hmm. how they can, what they can receive from our guests sharing, in some cases, ministries, people, how can they get involved, and even how can they donate? Well, in this case, Kim, the donation comes through acquiring your book. And but, you know, hey, let's not close the door on someone saying, man, I would really like to fund his next book. Mm-hmm. Okay. There is one in the works, right?
Yes. It's called Hunting Dinosaurs.
Hunting Dinosaurs. Wow. Mm-hmm. I want to.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'll open a lot of eyes with that one.
I would think. Well, a lot of eyes snapped
I'm
open.
I'm way outside. My wife says I'm too far out of the box. Yeah, you just think too far out of the box. You're not normal. I'm like, well.
She still married you.
She did.
What
fun? And she's still with you.
What yeah. fun is normal?
Yeah.
Well, this is, I want to, as I get Kim to begin answering some serious questions, you know, and he's ready to do that. The book we're talking about is entitled Hunting Aliens. Now, some of you listen regularly may have heard Kim on one of our Wednesday Live programs talking about the book. That segment was about 20 minutes long, so this is an hour program. And partly I wanted to have you back, Kim, to dig deeper into the book, why God had you write it. I want to read first, in the preface to the book, you present three questions that man has pondered really since the beginning. And I just want to bring those three questions up and then we'll go into other things. But they're basic questions. You've all asked them, listener, you know, to yourself, and you've heard others asking them. First one is, where did we come from? And that's pretty important. That's global. Mm-hmm. Why are we here is question number two. Mm-hmm. And the third one is, where are we going? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and to tell you, studying psychology and some philosophy for my master's in theology degree, these are common questions. And so without any further ado, although we're pretty good at ado, I have to tell you that. But
I didn't do it.
I didn't do it, right.
It's better than
adult. Kim, I think those are core questions for you as a human being. Yeah. And you've turned your desire to answer them, which is an ongoing life thing, but
absolutely
into writing this book. Hmm. So let me just open it up, ask you, what got you to sit down and put this book together?
I think what most interested me was, I'm not a big TV show. I mean, I like sports and I like some of the History Channel Discovery, but the one show on TV called Ancient Aliens, where these people come out and they say we were put here by aliens.
Right.
You know, we were, I think my book pretty well states, some of these people actually believe that these alien race came and seeded this planet with DNA. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all these UFOs they're supposedly seeing now are them coming to check on us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my point about that would be, if that's true, and those were aliens, when they flow over this earth, they would be saying, what have we done? Mm. Mm. What have we done?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Mm.
And, you know, it's such a unbelievable thing to think like that is what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. And my point was, the biggest point I wanted to get across was most of these people are so close to the truth. Mm-hmm. There was an alien that visited this earth.
Yes.
There was. Yes. Yeah. And you think about the very beginning when God said, when God created the heaven and the earth, the spirit moved upon the face of the, that was basically an alien. It was the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So these people just can't get to the fact that they just can't get it in their mind. It was God, not some alien race from the planet Neutron, you know, 500,000 light years away. Mm-hmm. They just can't get the point that there was a God that made us. And it just, I sat there and I got thinking about that. And I said, how could intelligent people, educated people, be so naive and be so ignorant to to that. And I hate to use that word ignorant, but as far as I'm concerned, it is. Mm-hmm. How could you be so ignorant that you would believe that?
You know, it's interesting, and I would just as a segue, the word ignorant upsets many people if you call them that.
Yes.
And yet, ignorance is simply a lack of knowledge. It's not being stupid, but it's often been correlated with stupidity.
Yes.
Now, one might add, if a person continues to be ignorant in the face of much knowledge they could access, then maybe they could slide over to that word stupid. But the point is that we are all in need of knowing something we don't know. And on top of that, then your book really focuses on a very popular theme today that is embraced by many world cultures, including American culture. So I want to throw this out at you, because what, in your mind, in your heart, why is it that people are more willing to pursue the mystery of extraterrestrial life than the mystery of God, which is easily revealed in His Word?
And in creation, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That is the only thing I can attribute that to would be blindness.
Mm-hmm.
Satan has blinded the human race. That's the only way you can picture that, because you can't, there's no way you can justify what people are saying about these UFOs. I mean, I write it in my book that what are the chances, you'd have to get my book to read it. I get pretty way out there on stuff, but how could it's like the pyramids and the etchings in Peru, they're saying, well, these were, the pyramids guided the UFOs here, and those etchings in the Peruvian desert were visual so they could see where they're at. And I'm sitting there going, why would a race of people that can travel billions of miles in the universe need any kind of a beacon?
Hmm.
Why would they need any of that stuff?
Yes.
That just shows you how ludicrous these people are. Not only that, I also stated in my book, too, that they're saying, well, the alien race showed them how to build the pyramids and showed them how to do this. And I'm sitting there going, why would an advanced race that could travel the universe build stuff out of rocks? Why wouldn't they use some kind of special metal that they designed, developed, or whatever? I mean, it's just it's so ludicrous. But I think the reason, what your original question is really difficult to answer, and I don't know that I can really answer it other than the fact that people just don't want to acknowledge there's a God.
Amen.
I think that's exactly what it is. It's all in Romans 1.
I mean, I'm just thinking all of Romans chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so evident in creation, but the God just lets them be because they just don't want to acknowledge God.
Absolutely.
They will go around it because they don't want to get to it.
Because of the obligation they would have as believers to not live the reprobate lifestyle they're living, they're not going to acknowledge it.
But then they believe
if I ignore it, it'll go away and I'll be okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
sad.
On the other point, though, these elitists, the knowledgeable people, the scientists, whoever they are, they don't want to admit that there is a God because it makes them look like they're not as smart as the other guys.
There you go.
That's a good point.
No, there's not a God. We got to figure this out. Man can figure everything out. And I've heard a lot of people come up with that, man will eventually figure it out. No, he won't.
No,
man
not really.
Will not figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to figure it out.
Only
man would destroy
God
him.
If they're really truly searching, if the Lord sees they're truly searching, the Lord will reveal.
Amen.
But
Absolutely.
Some people are not truly open to everything.
No.
Then they will stay in the darkness, as Romans says.
They have an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
They have an
it's
agenda.
It's sad. Right. Yeah. It's sad.
And it's a satanic agenda.
Exactly.
It is.
Satan is the ruler, prince, and power of the air.
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me throw this out then, because there's something attractive. There's something attractive I want to see if we can talk about. We have about 5 minutes before the first break, but at least let me get us started, because we were talking before you got here, and I was talking with Ann, and we're thinking about the extraterrestrial issue, which is a theory, and that the word theory means basically I have an idea about something, and I want to go about proving it. And I hope I can prove it, because it'll cease to be a theory and become a fact. Okay?
Amen.
So that's an important... Now, I'm not a scientist, but I did study them. I never played one on TV. But but the point being is that I do know enough about science, which, by the way, is a viable means of learning
Absolutely.
Things. So we're not. I'm a Christian. I'm not against science.
It will confirm everything.
God created it.
Exactly, and it will confirm the truths of God. But here's the thing. We live in a day when many eminent scientists and other well-educated people have been willing to embrace the theory of evolution, which by the nomenclature that they use, remains a theory. And yet, they base much of their teaching, and that it factors into much of their scientific belief system that evolution is true. And yet, it is not. It is still a theory. It has not been proven. And I know we'll probably get some calls later when I invite phone calls.
Yeah.
Some people on the other side, which is fine.
Let, you them, certainly call.
Do. Let yeah, them call. Yeah, I think they should call.
They should call.
Yeah.
But the point is they still claim it to be a theory. Now, if you are a disciplined scientist, you will not build on a foundation of theory a truth.
Absolutely. Correct.
You will not do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And yet so many have.
Yep.
This bothers me. So the propensity to want a theory to be true goes back now to the point your book is actually pointing in each chapter, it's pointing the reader back to God, back to his truth. I don't think you would ever totally negate the possibility of possible life on other planets. But the point is the discussion of that, of the theory of extraterrestrial life and its involvement in getting humanity going, being unproven is a waste of time when we can certainly go to the Word of God and receive through our study, our openness, our reading, and our prayer, the proofs, which we call faith, that God has given us. Am I reading that correctly?
I think the way I look at that is God said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Mm-hmm. Now, if we believe the Bible and we take the Bible literally, it didn't say God created the heavens and the earth and another earth and another earth or whatever. It said he created the heavens and the earth.
Right.
Now, is there a possibility, and I've thought about this, but once again, it's a theory that I don't like you. Theories are based. What's happened to theories today is they've made theories proof when they're not, just
exactly.
so they can believe them.
Right, exactly.
In their mind, they believe it.
Yeah.
They know in their heart it's not real, but they know in their mind they believe it because they just can't go to the fact that there is a God. But anyway, is it possible that God made an Adam and Eve on another world somewhere else and they did not sin? And they lived a perfect, they're living in a perfect world right now. They didn't need a savior. They didn't need, I mean, you think about Adam and Eve, if they would have, God made man live forever.
Yes.
Man is a perpetual machine.
Absolutely.
The only reason man came to that was because once he sinned and God put him out of the garden, then the DNA pool started to get saturated with different, you know, the DNA pool was starting to go downhill.
Right.
So man could live forever if he hadn't sinned, because what does sin bring? Disease, sickness, destruction,
death,
every other wars, famine, you know, that brought all that. So
yes.
Is there a possibility if Adam and Eve hadn't have sinned, this world would be a perfect world?
Absolutely.
Now, did God make a world like that somewhere? I don't know. That I don't even...
You know, by denying that the possibility is there, that there is another world like that, we limit God.
We do.
So
that's true, Ed.
But he gave us this world and this word to show us about this world. And he looks to us to have faith in what it says.
Yes.
That's where he tries our faith.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter what's out there.
No, it doesn't. That's the point.
It matters what he tells us right here in this word.
Amen.
What matters today is, you know, I've heard it said many times, what have you done with Jesus?
There you go.
What have you done with him? What are you doing for him? That's the only thing that matters in this whole world.
Yep.
That's
the
bottom line.
Two things that matter. It doesn't matter where you're born. Whether you believe you come from planet Zulu or it doesn't matter any of that stuff. It matters. Well, all that matters is what have you done with Jesus, yeah. and what are you doing for him?
Mm. Yeah. Whether there's life on Mars or not,
doesn't yeah.
what has that got to do with salvation?
Nothing.
Absolutely.
Well,
nothing.
I think the reason you wrote this book, and I haven't read this, I know that David has, right? David, you've read it?
Yeah.
People who are looking and asking these questions, because I honestly don't even think about stuff like that. I've never been science fiction. I've never thought, is there another, you know? Mm-hmm. But people who are, so you can lead them to the truth. So people who pick up this book, you can lead them to the truth with their curiosity. It's a very interesting topic and an interesting book.
Yeah. Well, the reason I wrote the book was, and I've said this many times, several times on the air, you take my book and put it next to a King James Bible. Uh-huh. You got somebody walking by it. Which book are they going to pick up?
Yours.
If they pick up my book, it's going to point them to that King
Amen.
James Bible.
Exactly. Amen.
Right.
That's the whole point of the book.
Good.
To point them to the real
Good.
Deal.
Well, to reach this niche of people that are thinking like that.
You look on the internet.
Yeah.
UFOs are it's in everybody's mind. It's exploding.
Oh, yeah.
Or the UAPs now, which is another way of saying UFO.
Yeah.
Unidentified aerial phenomenon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and we're going to take a break here in about 20 seconds. But what I was going to throw in the mix is it seems to me that all of these concerns are distractions.
Mm-hmm.
When you get down to the basics, there are two realms that we need to consider that exist apart from our life on planet Earth. One is heaven, the other is hell.
Yep.
And the scriptures are clear.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Those realms exist.
They do.
Absolutely.
And the question that we need to have answered is, where are we going to live forever when we die?
That's exactly right.
And so on that point, you think about that, listen. We'll be back in about 2 minutes. Know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Renowned saxophonist Aaron Abu joins former Miami Sound Machine members Pedro Alfonso and Manny Lopez in concert to benefit the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, a charity that blesses military veterans, first responders, and their families. This is only one night at the Lyric Theater, downtown Stuart, Florida, October the 30th. For more information, tickets are available online at lyrictheater.com or by phone 772-286-7827.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. All right, welcome back to the front line. We have Kim Ojasek today with us, the author of Hunting Aliens. Is actually the nom de plume is K.W. Smith.
Yeah.
That's the listed author, but it's really our brother in Christ here, Kim Ojasek. And when talking about the book, if you have a question for Kim or a comment, you're welcome to call 772-221. Mm-hmm. 1100, that's 772-221-1100. And I'll just have to tell you, I have no one here to answer the phone, so I'm going to have to run out there and transfer the call, so hang on.
It'll work out. Mm-hmm.
And if in the studio they hear a thud while I'm heading out there, that means I'm a fall risk, so someone will help get me up and keep letting the phone ring.
We're going to get you a suit made out of bubble wrap.
Really? Well,
so,
I like
anyway, what we were really the question I was we kind of left, or the comment was about you know, our concern. This is my view. I think we share it. Our concern should be on our own personal level in our spiritual life, the two realms that one of which we're going to go to when we die. Our spirit's going to go either to heaven or to hell. And it's, of course, in the Word of God that we get all that great teaching and exposure and revelation. It's going to help us make that decision for Christ who came to save us. And that's really the focal point. That's what you hope your book will lead people back to, is the Word of God.
The Word of God, yes. I want to lead it back to that we have a Creator.
Amen.
And it's God. It's not some alien race. And He didn't create hell for us. He created hell for the Satan and
for
the demons.
Satan. Amen. Right.
And it's only because of unbelief we go there.
Yeah. Yes.
So you know, people say, well, I don't believe God would send anybody to hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell. Nope. You send yourself.
Yes.
You know, and you think about in the judgment, white throne judgment, people are being thrown into hell. And I hear it all the time, these people like, I don't go to hell. I'll be with my friends. I'll be with my buddies. Well, you think about that. What does the Bible say? It says they're cast into hell. There's nobody going to go jump in voluntarily.
Amen.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
They're cast in. So I'm trying to get people to realize that there is a heaven and there is a hell. Now, what happens when the rapture comes and all of us that are saved Christians, the body of Christ, disappear? There's got to be a reason. And my belief theory, of course, is my theory is that the human race is going to say, those Christians were defective people, and the race, the aliens that created us came and got them.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were defective. I spoke last Thursday about what Hillary Clinton said about the threat to this country is white Christian men.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
She said that.
And they're going to be glad when we're gone. They're going to say, man, finally our creators finally got those Christian fanatics out of here. Now we can do what we want. Mm-hmm. So my whole point is that, yeah, you can do what you want, but you're going to face hell unless you repent.
That's right.
And that's basically what my book is saying is, you know, there is only two dimensions. There are dimensions, well, three dimensions, I guess. But, you know, God, heaven is in a different dimension. And hell, you know, the Bible said when Jesus was crucified, he went to the center of the earth. Is hell in the center of the earth? I don't know. God's going to create a new heaven, a new earth. He's going to create is that hell going to expand? I don't know. Those are things I don't know. And I don't even want to speculate other than the fact that they're real places. And how do we get to heaven? We can't get to heaven with any machine or anything we have right now. The only way we're going to get to heaven is through salvation and trusting in Christ. It's the only way. There's no way. And a lot of these people, I'm trying to explain to these people, you know, remember the guy that had the people, they all had on the Nike tennis shoes or something, and the comet was coming.
And they had the purple cloth.
Yeah, and they all died. They all killed each other because the comet was going to come get them and take them to heaven. That's not going to happen.
No.
There's only one way.
They found that.
They've discovered that, sadly. And that, I guess, to me, is a great sadness. They're
very sad.
When we know, and I know it's and as I've worked with people, you know, I've reached out as a pastor. I've met many people over time that are resistant to the gospel, and they have their own theories, you know, and they're comfortable with them. And maybe as most of them would say, well, I'm good enough. Goodness is what's going to get me there. And that, which is a well-accepted theory. It's not going to be proven to be true. But it's also part of that resistance that people build to really just turning to God. Let's just talk about that, because the truth is, we're talking to some people right now. You're listening. You may have wanted to turn off the radio or switch the dial. Please don't do that, because I think the next point may be real helpful to you. So what is it about us that resists wanting to be related to God, wanting to know Him and listen to Him?
I think probably it started with Cain. When God wanted that perfect sacrifice, and he wanted to do his own thing.
Yes.
So I think the problem today is everybody wants to do their own thing.
Yeah.
They don't want anybody telling them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I think that's the whole point is I want to do my own thing. I'm not hurting anybody else. You know, I want to do this. I want to do that. Well, I'm not hurting anybody. And I think it's basically just the pride of man to say I can do it better than God.
Yes.
I mean, you look at these some of these politicians we have today that they're socialist and they're communist and everything else. But and you look at it, that's never worked anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. But they think they can make it work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you have human race says, well, you know what? I know God, but I think maybe I can make it work better. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's whole pride. Thing is a pride of man.
Pride, mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you think about it, though. And I thought about this, too. And this is kind of getting off track of my book a little bit. But Cain didn't know what killing was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he believed that he would actually kill his brother because they didn't know what death was. Death hadn't came to the race yet.
That's true.
He thought he would just get up and walk around. He didn't realize he killed him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when it all started, basically, to cover things up. What did I mean? Mm-hmm. You go back to, Adam. Well, the woman you gave me, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And Cain's like, what am I, my brother's keeper? You know. And it all boils down to the fact that mankind has always tried to cover up and deny.
And along those lines, keep in mind that it's sin that got Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden. But when we read the story of how God encounters them after that, number one, they hide from him. Well, they're trying to hide again. It's the issue, the fear of judgment. But then they lie to him.
Yes.
And then Adam, as you'd mentioned, points to Eve. He's casting blame. He's, don't look at me, look at the woman, this defective creature, But Adam participated in it as well. So one early sign of sin is denial.
Yes.
And then you see the family leaves, the Cain and Abel are born, same people post-fall, And what happens, what's replicated is the sin. Cain sins, well, first against God and then against his brother and kills him.
Yes.
And when God reaches out, where is Abel? Well, I don't know where he is. Am I my brother's keeper? All along, God knew what happened, and so did Cain. But Cain's response, the response of a soul that is steeped in sin, is to deny.
Absolutely, and that's what's happening today.
Yeah.
That's why there's so much denial. People they don't want to open their eyes and see the truth. They don't want to know the truth.
No.
And I've heard this before many times, and I don't like it when they say, well, the reason the world's the way it is because us Christians aren't doing what we're supposed to.
Oh,
I can't go along with that because there's never been a time in history that the gospel is being spread like it is now.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
It's
Amen.
Not that it's not that the Christians aren't doing their job. It's just that people don't want it.
They don't want to hear it.
What does it say? What does it say in the Bible about the end times? As it was in the times of Noah. What was happening in the times of Noah?
Massive sin,
massive
and rejection
sin.
Of God.
But there's one thing people aren't understanding about that massive sin. How many people were being saved?
Oh, well, nobody.
Nobody.
And what does it say in the Bible? As it was in the times of Noah, so shall it be.
Yeah.
So you got to put those two factors in there. There was nobody being saved, and the world was wicked.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are people being saved today.
Amen.
But the world's still wicked.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So there's going to come. My theory is, and that's Bible, I think it's biblical, that there's God. We want an end time revival, mm-hmm. but that revival is going to end, and there's not going to be any more people saved.
You're right.
Sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I think, and I would never be one of those people that tries to even speculate when Jesus is coming back.
I'm not going there.
Yeah.
You're not going to hear it here.
I'm not going there at all.
No.
I'm not going
to walk out the front door and get hit by a truck. He's coming back for you.
I've heard too many people. I had a very good preacher friend of ours that got on that track about when the planets are going to line up. And I hate to say this, but the Lord took him out of this earth early.
Mm.
And I'm scared of that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, it's distracting.
You know, the bottom line to all this, I'm terrible on chapter and verse.
Me too.
Chapter and verse.
Me too.
But the scripture says in the New Testament that every human being is born with the knowledge
absolutely.
Of God in
yes.
their heart.
Yeah.
Every human being.
We
so
just
people,
had,
it's there.
We mm-hmm. had that discussion at our, we just had that discussion with our pastor just a couple nights, a Sunday night, I think it was, where you're absolutely right, Ed.
Yeah.
And we have no excuse
mm-hmm.
That's
not to
point.
Believe it and believe there is a God other than pride and disbelief, as we just talked about.
Well, the scripture yeah. talks over and again about a remnant people, too.
Mm-hmm.
Remnant.
And that's what God is doing. He's raising up a remnant people.
Mm-hmm.
And we, by his grace and his mercy, we
yeah.
seem to be part of that.
We are. We
yeah.
are part of it. You know, it's funny because when we had, during the COVID, we didn't shut our church doors at First Baptist Salerno. We kept them open.
Mm-hmm.
We shut down for 2 weeks, I think, only because they were, but after we saw the 2 weeks and it kept going, we're like, nah, we're not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a few of them. I'd made fun because, you know, I would speak sometimes. My brother would speak. Our pastor was, you know, when he had to leave or do something. And there was always just that little remnant of people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
There's that little remnant was always there. I'm sure you guys noticed it too. Where
I
there's
had
always that remnant.
My service yesterday. Yeah. A remnant.
The remnant. I called him the remnant. Yeah. So
but there was always cool. God makes sure of that because
absolutely.
What is it? You know, like it's seed corn. The remnant's always going to make sure the word of God is planted, and then you'll see growth. And God always works through that, and we're seeing that. Today, we need more people.
My next book, Hunting Dinosaurs, I speak a little bit about a remnant.
Do you?
Do you at all address what might, in that book, what remnant might be here after the rapture?
Oh, there's going to be a remnant after the rapture.
Okay.
Sure.
Absolutely.
I agree.
There's going to be 144,000 of them.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
No,
so just getting back to your book, because I'm coming from the mindset of I don't think about aliens or so what how do you address people who do? What do you say the aliens are? Do you talk about the spiritual realm in this book?
Yes, there's no doubt. What does the Bible say
mm-hmm.
about Lucifer and the angels? They're angels of light.
Yes.
Yeah. And what mm-hmm. are most UFOs? A light.
Yeah.
And they talk about portals.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I really believe this, and I think it's mm-hmm. probably in, I think it's in, yeah, it's in my book.
Yeah.
Where there's, I'm trying to,
have
I,
you read
I just,
it?
Yeah, but I'm trying to, I just wrote my Hunting Dinosaur, so that's on my mind.
So
I'm a simple minded person, like Three Stooges, I guess.
But, I understand.
But anyway, you know, you think about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus left this earth, how did he leave? He said he left on a cloud.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was that a cloud, puppy cloud, or was that some kind of a, God doesn't need machines, of course,
mm-hmm.
but was it some kind of vehicle that they saw him going up?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they physically saw him going up.
And at that time, didn't know how to describe it.
Yes, they didn't know how to describe it. So he had to have gone through some kind of a portal to get into heaven.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's where these UFOs, you know, they're running around and all of a sudden they disappear. Well, they went back as a Satan. And it's in my book too, where it says that the God has his angels patrolling the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's
in the Bible.
It's in the Bible.
Yep, right.
God's angels are patrolling the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're seeing are angels patrolling the earth, I believe. And we're also seeing demons.
Yes.
A lot of these lights and stuff are demons.
If you address that in your book, yeah.
There's no doubt that mm-hmm. a lot of them are demons because demons were creatures of light, too.
Yeah.
You know, they were all creatures of light.
That fell.
Now, they sin, but on their own free will, they followed Satan. But if you read that in the Bible, it says somebody was asking, why did a third of those people follow him, or a third of those angels follow Satan? I said, they didn't follow him. You read the scripture, it says he drug them.
Mm.
He drug them out. They didn't have no choice.
Mm.
He made them go with him.
Mm.
They didn't go voluntarily. Mm. He drug them. He drug a third of the angels with him. Didn't say voluntarily.
Mm.
So you look at these lights, and the thing we can't differentiate is which ones are demons and which ones are God's angels, because they're all angels of light. And isn't that the world problem of the world today? They can't differentiate between what's right and what's wrong anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what used to be right is now wrong, and the Bible's very specific on that, too. And what used to be wrong is now right.
Yes, and that's...
So that's the reason you can't differentiate which ones are angels of light or God's angels or the demons.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you where we're at another break point, so let's just hold there where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Again, caller, if you want to call and ask Kim a question or make a comment, that number is 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100. The break is about 3.5 minutes, and then we'll be back, and then, you know, if you want to call, fine, and we'll take it.
Yeah, I'll answer every question.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye peoples. For his mercy and kindness are great towards us, and the truth of the Lord is forever. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye peoples. For his mercy and kindness are great towards us, and the truth of the Lord is forever. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, I will offer to you a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye peoples. For his mercy and kindness are great towards us, and the truth of the Lord is forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his loving kindness is everlasting. I will call upon his name and lift the cup of Yeshua. In the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, I will offer to you a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye peoples. For his mercy and kindness are great towards us, and the truth of the Lord is forever. His mercy and kindness are great towards us, and the truth of the Lord is forever.
Music. That means we're back.
Yeah.
Amen. And the song you just heard.
I heard that guitar music there, and I see you're really getting better.
Yeah.
You're practicing, huh?
Well, I hired Ted Pierce, though, who was the artist, to play for me, entitled The Truth of the Lord is Forever.
That was beautiful.
But that was an appropriate tune to play for our discussion today.
Amen.
We're back, the front line, the last part of our program, with Kim Mojasak, the author of the book, Hunting Aliens under the pseudonym K.W. Smith.
So, and they could find this on Amazon.com.
You can get it on Amazon. Yeah. And again, if you're looking, it's Hunting Aliens. K.W. Smith is the author.
Yeah, I had to, I think I had, you know, you got a name like Kim Wojcicki. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to put that on the book because somebody said, you know, I read a really cool book the other day. And they said, what was the name of Hunting Aliens? Well, who's the author? Well, some girl, and her had a weird last name. So I had to go to something different. KW is my initials, and Smith was my mother's maiden name.
Okay. Mm. Well, that explains it.
That's how I
But I understand. It makes it a little easier to remember.
Yes.
And in fact, I'm seeing that. Maybe
this light has been flashing.
Yeah, well, that means a call came in and we missed it. So probably when I was in the back. No, don't do that.
Oh, sorry.
I never heard it ring.
No, so sorry, but anyway.
Well, you may not have heard it in here because the door was closed. That's okay. Listen, caller, if you did call to try to get through to us, call us back, 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100, and I'll run out and answer the phone. But I was away, and that's probably what happened. It came through. So if you'll do that. Back, you know, I wanted to maybe give us a little info what the next book, Hunting Dinosaurs, what that's going to be all about.
Well, dinosaurs did exist, and the question is, when did they exist, and how old is the Earth? And there's a lot of discrepancies in scientists on the age of the Earth. Not discrepancies not only in the sciences, but there's discrepancies in the religious world also. So I try to explain, and once again, it's pretty much theory that on the existence of them. When did they exist? When were they destroyed? When were they, you know, how long did they live? And I think the Bible, the thing I like about the Bible is if we look at the Bible in simplicity. You know, we take scriptures for what that scripture says. And too many times we want to try to make that scripture to what we want it to sound like.
Amen. Amen.
And we can't do that. We have to take the scripture just the way it says, just like Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, period. There's no, well, you know, he took him how long, or it doesn't matter if he did it in 7 days, 7 years, seven times, it doesn't matter. He created the heavens and the earth. And the biggest thing about my next book is the world, even the secular world and the religious world, wants to put God in a box. They want to put him in a time box.
Amen.
There is no time box. There is no box of time
God,
for God.
God doesn't need time. He invented time. He created time for us.
Time did not start.
Yeah, so I think we have a call. So we're just going to grab it. Good afternoon. You're on WCNO Live.
Yes, I want to participate on the program.
Yeah, go right ahead. You're on live.
Okay. To the person that is the author.
Yes.
He's right here.
I have a quick question and experience.
Well,
as
yes, sir.
As a kid in Puerto Rico, we as a family experienced a UFO. We saw it. You know, nobody can tell us we didn't see them, you know, or that flying object. But I was also, I grew up in a church in Puerto Rico, and my conviction of Jesus never turned me away from Jesus to follow a UFO. So that's one thing that we have to, at least in my part. So there might be thousands of planets in the galaxy, but there's only one Jesus.
Amen, amen, brother. Amen. You're right on.
Every planet or everything that is over there. So my question is, my point is, not only theory, not only people that, you know, believe or don't believe, there's a group of people with some kind of experience, and Christian has to have an answer for those people too. My conviction on Jesus, like I said, never turned me away from that, from Jesus. what we did saw something. It's true, we were close to a military base, and I always believe it's either demons or military things that they're practicing or using to see. You know, that's what I believe. It's either a demon, because like somebody else mentioned, is you know those beings exist. You know, we cannot deny, we don't see it, but they exist, and they can show to people. And, boy, like I said, Jesus is over all of them.
Amen.
Well, I think you're right on, and I think what you're saying is true. I would never, ever, tell somebody, you're seeing a UFO, there's something wrong with you. I would never say that, because people that are seeing these things, they are actually seeing these things. You actually saw something. And I can't explain exactly what it is, other than the fact that it's either celestial or terrestrial. It's either from God, Satan, or something on this earth. So the reason I say that is all the UFOs that people say they've seen, there's never been a recorded incident of ever any kind of a creature that was inside these things. Now, people say they saw this, they saw the creature, you had no, you know, big eyes and all that kind of stuff. But why is it there's no ever, not, never any evidence of that? Why is it when Bigfoot, they're seeing a Bigfoot behind a tree, and it's always a blurry, grainy video? Or why does UFOs always are blurry and the camera's moving, and the Loch Ness Monster, there's never anything solid evidence of it, but yet people believe it. Excuse me again. The thing I would like to say is this. I had some medical problems here 15 years ago, heart attack and had open heart surgery. And I'm not big on visions, because sometimes visions, people get wound up too much in those. I'm okay with visions as long as the Bible complements that vision or complements that dream. If I had a vision that God told me that, you know, Jesus is coming back September 13th, 2020, I would say you're crazy.
Yeah.
But I had a vision, and I was in a room, and the room had no roof on it, but it was four walls, and it had a door, and just four walls. And I was against the wall, and there was something in the door, and I knew it was Jesus. He was standing at the door. But I looked above me, and I looked in the air, and I saw the demons and God's angels fighting. And those demons were not hideous, ugly creatures. Those demons were more or less creatures of light. They were almost a brass, a gold color. And the point of that was that Jesus is standing at our door if we're saved. He's the door to our heart. But sometimes what he's trying to tell me is Jesus can protect our hearts and protect us from the Satan, but it's up to us to keep him out of our mind. So we have to be careful. It's up to us. Jesus can keep evil out of our heart, but we as humans have to keep it out of our heads. Jesus can't do that.
And it's renewing our minds and being in the Bible.
Absolutely. So my point, and this gentleman is very right on with it. My point is you got to keep that thoughts of these out of your head.
Let me make one more last comment. And this is it. I'm gonna hang up. You know, when we see the pictures of these aliens, you know, big eyes, some kind of elongated face. The Bible mentions something in the book of Revelation that when, you know, after the millennium or whatever, in that era, that the abyss is going to be open. And he says there's some creature that came out of the
bottomless pit.
Face, you know, looking like a frog. And you see all those descriptions and those little images that people said about, they kind of similar of a frog, it's what they're seeing is demons.
I think you're 100%
absolutely correct, sir.
I think you're 100%.
That's my opinion.
I love that. Well, thank you for calling and sharing that.
Well, yeah. It's also whether the person chooses to believe it's demons, even though it is, you know? Right. But yeah, thank you for calling.
Well, he's 100% correct.
Yeah, have a good day.
God bless you. Know, thank you.
He's 100% correct in that, because you think about it, and it's in my next book, Hunting Dinosaurs, too. You know, a lot of these creatures they're seeing, they could be God showing them to us and showing us that these guys are going to be turned loose one day.
Yeah.
And he's given us, he's trying to give us a sign.
Yeah, absolutely.
For years, Hollywood's been conditioning towards.
Yes, absolutely.
Conditioning us to make that normal.
Ed, you're absolutely right. You think about Godzilla and King Kong, where they here he is frozen in ice. Absolutely. And what does it say? These creatures are going to come out of a bottomless pit.
Yeah.
These could be. We don't really know what they're going to be, but they're not going to be. They're going to be the worst man's worst nightmare.
Yeah. But there's a subtle conditioning to prepare the unbelievers to receive all that.
Yeah. That's why we
not be disturbed.
That's why we as believers have to keep that stuff out of our minds.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we're really almost out of time, which is one thing I say, God, why did you put us in linear time? And we have but anyway, he did, and I'm not complaining because it was his will, but we are running out of time. I was going to ask you, Kim, in the last few minutes, and we only really have about 3.5 minutes, what do you think about if you could ask you to pray for? I would like you to pray for the people who are struggling, who need the real truth instead of the theory that they've embraced as true.
Amen.
Would you be willing to lift them up in prayer?
Sure. We're going to do it right now?
Yes, sir, if you would. Sure.
Lord, we know this world is full of so many minds that just don't want to believe in you.
Mm.
Lord, they'd rather believe a lie. And Lord, my prayer is that you would help these people, men, women, children, that are believing this lie, that they would realize that the only truth is your word.
Amen.
The Bible. Lord, it is your word. It is your truth. And the only truth in that Bible is that Jesus came and died for us.
Amen.
That's the only real truth we need to know. We can think about aliens, and we can think about all these other things. And, Lord, there's so many things in life that want to take us away from you. But, Lord, we have to look at you with our hearts, not with our heads, but with our hearts. And I just pray for those out there that are on the fence, that they would – I'm not looking to sell a bunch of books. I'm just looking for them. If they won't read the Bible, read my book. And, Lord, let you lead them. You lead them. It's not me, Lord, it's you. Lord, we're just your helpers.
Yes.
But I'm glad I'm your helper. And I'm glad this radio station's here and they're your helpers. Lord, just bless this station. Bless Ed and Ann and Dave. Lord, that's good to meet them. They're good people, good Christians. And we'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, Kim. Thanks for being here. And I know once this Hunting Dinosaurs is out, and we need to have you back so you can talk about it.
Yeah, you might not want me back when you read it.
No, I don't. You're a solid biblical man. You love Jesus, and you're into the Word of God. It's coming out of that. I'm not going to have a problem with it.
Well, once again, my whole point is that too many times we want to show people how biblically intelligent we are.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we just got to keep it simple.
Amen.
Just keep
it
simple.
I like that approach. Yeah.
Keep it simple.
That always works for me, you know, although I spent years not making it simple and I suffered for it.
Well, I know when I was I used to be a little bit in real estate, and I used to always use that terminology, KISS, K-I-S-S.
Yeah. Right.
Keep it simple, stupid. You know, so that's why I tried to keep it simple.
Yep. Okay, or if we verse that and say, keep it stupid, simple.
That's more like me, yeah. That would suit me better.
Yes, that's described me more often than I'd care to admit. But
the book is available on Amazon. I mean, like I said, I don't have websites and all that stuff yet. So, I mean,
Is that on Kindle as well?
Yes, it's on.
Oh, you can have it on Kindle, too.
Yes, it's on Kindle, too.
I have no room to store any more books, so I read them on Kindle.
No, it's Kindle, too.
Well, again, Kim, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
For being here. Listeners, thank you for tracking along with us, and we'll be back next week, same time, same station.
Amen.
Till then, God bless you and keep you, and may your hunger for the truth outweigh any desire to know less than the truth.
And you got great co-hosts.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.